This morning, I want us to take a little bit of time today to think about what it means and what it looks like to honor our parents, particularly our moms, since this is your day, Mother's Day. We'll pay particular attention to honoring our moms this morning. I want us to begin, though, with a little give and take. We'll play a little game here. In the announcement bulletin that you received as you came in our building today, assuming you did receive one, I believe you should have there in the outline of today's lesson a quote. I want to call your attention to that quote. And after I've read that quote to you, or you've read it for yourself, we're going to try to guess who said that, who we should attribute that quote to. Here's the quote. If you don't have an announcement sheet to look off of, you can listen to it as I read it. Youth today have luxury, but they also have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, and they talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents, they talk too much in company, and they tyrannize their elders. All right, way to start off this morning with a upbeat quote there, but let's play a little game here. Who's responsible for that quote? I'm going to give you the names of three individuals, and then we're going to come back by a show of hands, and you're going to tell me who you think spoke those words. Here are the names: William Bennett, Art Linkletter, Bill Cosby. Show of hands, William Bennett. How many of you think William Bennett said this? I've got one lone soul over here. Wow. Oh, there's two or three. Okay, a few hands are popping up here. Wrote a book a number of years ago, I believe, called On Virtues. Was also Secretary of Education, I think, under President Bush. Reagan? I don't know. Richard thinks it's Reagan. It could be. It was several years ago. I don't know how far back it was. I did see the book. I don't think I've read it. All right, got a few. Art Linkletter. Got a few who remember that name. No Art Linkletter. All right. Bill Cosby. Now, Bill Cosby a few years ago said some things that kind of got him in hot water, kind of conservative sounding things. So maybe that's why you think that quote should be attributed to him. All right, actually, I have been kind of sneaky. I've mistreated you this morning. None of these men said that. All right, you want to play this game? My son's here today. Socrates. Wow, the boy gets an A this morning. That quote actually, what? Did he Google it? Oh, man. That's not right. That is not right. Turn no self, quit Googling while I'm talking. Socrates, 400 years before Jesus Christ was even born, wrote those words. How about that? What does that say? One thing I think it says is that there appears to be a timeless truth that young people, to some degree, in every generation, have a tendency to be somewhat disrespectful of their elders, and maybe on occasion even find it hard to honor their parents the way that they should. If some dude that lived nearly 2,500 years ago said something that sounds that contemporary to many of your ears today, then that speaks, I think, to a timeless truth that many of us may have observed. Scripture, as you know, urges us to pay respect to our elders and to honor our parents. Leviticus 19, verse 32, just one example, translated somewhat differently depending upon which version you might be reading this morning. I command you to show respect, it says, for older people. And then, of course, the statement that was read earlier for us, the screen behind me, you see Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, which is actually a reference to a command found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, originally given by Moses to the sons of Israel, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Many of you, I'm sure, recognize that command as one of what we commonly refer to as the Ten Commandments, commandments that God gave Moses, who in turn gave to the sons of Israel as they were entering the promised land. This is how God wanted his people to live and to conduct themselves. And in the land he was giving them, he wanted children to honor their parents. It's interesting, when you break those Ten Commandments down, they kind of fall into two natural divisions. The first four seem to have to do with loving God and what that looks like. And so how we're to have no graven image before us, and not to bow the knee to any false gods. Those first four talk about how we are to relate to God. The next six talk about how we are to relate to each other. Interesting then, when Jesus was asked about the greatest commands, he said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So when you divide the Ten Commandments, they kind of naturally fall into those two divisions, love God and love people. And here's how that looks like. In that second division of loving others, the first command in that section begins with honor your mother and father. Our love begins with God, and then it branches out to others. But before branching out to others, it begins in the family. It's in the family unit that we first learn how to love and honor. And from there, it kind of flows out to the relationships that we have with others. And so God has always wanted his children to honor their parents. Now, through the years, some have kind of downplayed the tendency of young people to kind of be disrespectful toward their elders and kind of dishonor their parents as just being normal teenage young behavior. And yet I'm convinced that it's more than that. It may be that, but it's also behavior that God does not want to see in his children. I don't know if you realize this or not, but back in the day, dishonoring one's parents was actually punishable by death. Now, before you guys over here get pitchforks and torches and try to run me out of the building, let me say to you that that particular law was directed to the sons of Israel, and I am in no shape, form, or fashion, as they say, advocating that we take all those who sassed their moms this past week out back and stone them. I don't think that would be a good idea. So I'm glad some of you probably are glad to hear that this morning. But even though that law is not applicable to us, there are many other admonitions in Scripture that urge us to respect our elders in general and to appreciate and honor our parents in particular, regardless of our age. And I say regardless of our age because we never reach a point in our lives where it's okay to disrespect and dishonor our parents. Actually, some people think this command may have originally been intended or directed to adult children who had parents perhaps living with them. And they were to honor their parents by caring for their parents. You see, there've not always been these things called IRAs and pensions and retirement funds. And back in the day when Moses lived, and even when Paul lived, you had many generations living together because elderly parents had nowhere to go. And so if their children turned them out, if they didn't honor them by continuing to serve them and care for them, they literally had nowhere to go. And so this admonition to honor our parents is not just something for the little children who've gone downstairs now for their own service, but to those who are teenagers, to those who are young adults who no longer even live at home, to those of us who are adults well into our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond. It's never a good thing for anyone to be disrespectful and to dishonor their parents. So this morning we want to talk a little bit about that. What does that look like today in our culture? With the time that we have left this morning, I want us to just think about this a little bit. When we see a scripture like the one that was read for us earlier, Ephesians 6 and verse 2, honor your father and mother. What does that look like? Probably varies somewhat from culture to culture and from generation to generation. What does it look like for us? How might we honor father and mother today, and particularly today, with it being a day that we've kind of set aside to honor our moms? How would we do that? What might that look like for those of us gathered here this morning? Well, I'm going to make 5 suggestions this morning, and I'm going to go ahead and give them all to you right now because I'm not sure we'll have time to get through all 5 of them. Here's the first 4, and if you want to write these down, I've given you space to do that in the outline there of the lesson. By sharing our time with our parents, we honor them. By showing them little signs of respect every day, if you want to write these down, I'm going to flip this here in just a moment, bring up the 5th one. By speaking well of them in the presence of others, by seeking their wisdom on matters that are important to us, and the 5th one, by stepping up and taking responsibility for their care when they can no longer care for themselves. I'm not often creative enough to come up with 5 words that begin with the same letter, but somehow that worked out this past week. You might notice sharing, showing, speaking, seeking, and stepping up. I don't know that we'll make it through all of these today. I know that many of you probably have plans, so it's my plan this morning not to hold you too long and irritate those plans that you've made. Let's kind of go back here and take these one at a time. We honor our parents, especially our moms, by sharing our time with them. You know, there are some things, we live in a fast-paced culture, no doubt about it, but there are some things that deserve time. I don't know, some of you are readers, I'm not sure if you've ever come across this book or not. Maybe some of you with military backgrounds might have found this or heard of this. There's a book called Final Salute, and it tells the story of a man by the name of Major Steve Beck. Beck is a U.S. Marine whose job it is to inform the nearest of kin when a Marine has been killed in battle. He's the one who goes to the house and informs the family that their loved one has been killed. Now, when he does that, he does not go and just drop that bomb and then leave, but he typically stays and engages with the family for several days after that, helping them with any arrangements that they might need help with, even including funeral arrangements. So he's involved in their lives. But an additional responsibility is he works with the Marine Honor Guard, whose job it is to stand by the casket during the funeral ceremony to pay respect to their fallen comrade. And one of his responsibilities with the honor guard is to teach them how to give a slow salute. Now, apparently this is not taught in basic training. A slow salute is only done at the funeral service by the honor guard. And what it entails is a salute that takes about 3 seconds for the arm to come up. The salute is held for 3 seconds. And then a slow 3-second descent. Beck explains in his book why the slow salute is appropriate on that occasion. Men who've died in service deserve to be honored with a slow salute. Some things you don't just need to blitz through. Sometimes it's appropriate to take time. For example, when we come into an assembly like this, which is better? Danny, don't sing so many songs. Whoever's leading a prayer, don't pray so long. And Charlie, by all means, don't talk too long today. I've got more important things to do than to waste my time here in this building. That not only dishonors those of us who prepare to lead us in worship, it dishonors our God. He deserves some time. You don't come into the presence of God and blitz through it so that you can go on to do something more important. What can be more important than bowing our knees before our Heavenly Father and spending some time with Him and His people? And likewise, our parents deserve our time. A gift on Mother's Day is nice. And a gift on Father's Day is good. Everybody likes to receive gifts. You want to give the best gift you can give to someone you love, mother, father, whoever it might be, give them your time. Give them a slow salute, figuratively. Spend some time with them. Stuart Sachs is a former missionary to Paraguay. And he tells the story that one day he had just sat down to eat his dinner when a local Indian by the name of Rafael came up and sat down on his front porch. Stuart really didn't understand what was going on. He walked out, said, "How can I help you? Do you need something?" And the response Raphael gave him really didn't make any sense to Stuart. The response that he gave, I want to quote it, was, "I don't want anything. I have just come near." Well, Stuart really didn't understand. He thought he was missing something in the language, didn't quite understand what it was. A couple of days later, he was talking with a veteran missionary who understood the language much better, was explaining to him what happened, and that missionary said, "Oh, here's what he was doing. He was honoring you with his presence." See, he didn't want anything. He just liked to be near you. Isn't that neat? I just want to be near you. You want to honor someone, mother, father, whoever it may be? Turn the cell phone off. Sit down, take some time, give them your presence. Not presents, but presence, your presence. Share your time with them. Show them little signs of respect every day. And again, this varies, I guess, from time to time, place to place, maybe even family to family. I don't know what is respectful in your family. There are some things that are probably appropriate to all. There may be others that are somewhat different. Opening a door for your mom, helping her with the groceries, right? Picking up after yourself. She's your mom, not your maid, so it's nice to pick things up every once in a while and not expect her to follow along behind you and clean up every little mess that you make in the house. Little signs of respect pass along a sense of honor to our parents. Some of you are going to be familiar. I want to show a little clip here. I just really like this. It's an old movie, 1962, To Kill a Mockingbird. Atticus Finch is a widower with two small children, a lawyer in a southern Georgia town, and he's been given the task of defending a local black man who's accused of having raped a white woman. And he does an admirable job of building a case where reasonable doubt is clear, but the all-white jury is not convinced, and so they convict the man. Tom Robinson is his name in the movie. They convict him. And at the end of that scene, where the courtroom is now empty and Atticus is kind of picking up his papers, there is a sign of respect given him that speaks volumes. For children to stand up when their parents come into the room, I don't know if I ever did that. No, Mary Beth says I didn't, so I guess I didn't. There were times I should have. There are times that you probably should have. It's just a little something that's simple. You stand up. You open a door. You say thank you. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. You pick up after yourself. That honors, that shows respect to someone who deserves to be respected and honored. Speak well of them in the presence of others. How do you speak about your parents? Around your friends? Around your coworkers? Do you honor them with your words? Even when our parents are no longer living, this is something we can continue to do. We can honor them with our words. There is an author, Mitch Albom, not sure how he pronounces his last name, Tuesdays with Maury. Some of you will have heard that and read that. Also wrote a book a few years ago, Have a Little Faith, where he writes a story about two men. One of them is a big black pastor from the rough and tumble streets of Chicago, and another one, I believe, is his childhood rabbi, who comes to Mitch and asks him to give his eulogy. And much of the book is about Mitch reconnecting with this childhood rabbi so that when it comes time for him to die, he'll know what to say during his eulogy because he'd lost contact with him and hadn't been around him for years. And so much of the book is about their reconnecting to each other. And as his childhood rabbi nears the time of his death, Mitch writes about sharing an experience with his rabbi where he asked him one day, "Rabbi, do you fear death?" And the rabbi said, "Yes, but not the way you might think." He says, "What do you mean?" The rabbi says, "I fear the second death." He says, "What's that?" His rabbi says, the second death is when, after you've died, nobody speaks your name. and so you're forgotten. I fear that. I fear there will come a day when nobody speaks my name. Man, that stuck with me. Our family got together last night, celebrate Mother's Day last night. Great night. We sat around and just let the kids share memories of my parents who are deceased. We honored them. We spoke their name. We honor our parents when we speak well of them. Even when they're no longer here, we honor them. We keep their memory alive. Honor your parents. I don't care whether you're 10 or 90. Speak their name. Keep those memories alive. In the process of doing that, we honor the people who loved us, did the best they could for us. I got two more, but it's a busy day for a lot of you. Honor your parents by seeking their wisdom on matters that are important. And honor your parents by stepping up and taking responsibility for their care when they can no longer care for themselves. That's one that deserves a lot of talk. It's not easy. End-of-life issues get hard. And we don't know what to do. And we wrestle with, do we bring them home? Do we take them to a home? I know some of you are there right now. What do you do? We got to the point in our family where we were going to have to take our dad to Spring Creek. And he didn't want to go. He just decided to die so he didn't have to go. Basically, it was, I think, about what he did. About the time we said we got to take him, he got sick and he didn't have to go. But sometimes that's the only option. We live long, we get sick, we demand round-the-clock care. We can't always take care of the needs that everybody has. Sometimes the best place for a person is in a place where they can get the care that they need. I just hope if that ever happens to me, I can make it easy on my kids. If that's where I need to go, take me there. Jesus' harshest words were reserved for individuals who weren't taking care of their parents. They devised a way of getting around that. They called it Corban. You can look it up in your scriptures. Money that was ought to go to help care for their parents, they said, ah, that's been devoted to God. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. Can't help you. That's Corban. That's money pledged to God. Jesus said, no, that's not right. You have a funny way of disobeying God to keep your traditions. You kind of let them have it. That's one that needs a lot of thought. All right, here's the thing. What do you do when your parents haven't been perfect? Maybe you're sitting here thinking, Charlie, my parents weren't very good to me. Or my parents aren't very good to me. And I hate to even have to say something like this, but we live in a day and age where this is much more well known. Sometimes parents do things that are not honorable and are not worthy of honor. And I would just say, if you've grown up or if you're growing up in a family where your parents are not honoring you, where they may even be abusing you or hurting you physically, emotionally, sexually, whatever it may be, in no way, shape, form, or fashion is that right. And if you seek to get out of that, that is not dishonorable. That's what you ought to do. But at the same time, let's realize, just as we're not faultless, neither are any set of parents. I've broken the fifth command. I lied to my parents. I deceived my parents. I didn't respect them the way that I should. I've broken the fifth commandment. And I suspect pretty much everybody in here probably has as well. And as a parent, I've not always been the best parent. I've made mistakes, not done things I should have done things I shouldn't have. And who in here as a parent could not say, yeah, me too? So here's the thing. We all need grace. We all need Jesus. The only one who did it perfectly, who did it completely, fully, who went to the cross to pay for our mistakes. And so whether I come at it from a child or whether I come at it from as a parent, I need His grace. I need His forgiveness. I need His love. Let's cut ourselves some slack. You probably don't have the perfect set of parents. But they don't have the perfect child either, would be my guess. Let's try to find what's good, focus on that, and give the rest to God. How's your walk with Christ going this morning? Do you need the grace that is found in Christ? If so, we urge you to come to Him this morning. We would love to see and take your confession to Christ, baptize you into Him even, to begin a walk with Him where He works and lives in your life. Our shepherds will be at the exits today. If you need prayer, counseling, advice on any subject, please seek them out. That's why God has placed them here, to shepherd us and work in our lives on His behalf. To all the moms that are here this morning, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.